Hello and welcome to A Simple Question, your weekly roundup of views and public opinion. I'm Ed Augustine. On today's show, it's a special show. We're in Derry in Northern Ireland, and we're going to be speaking to the public about the history of the Northern Irish conflict, as well as the relationship between Northern Ireland and the UK today. But first, a quick video clip.
For much of the 20th century, Northern Ireland experienced a wave of violence known as the Troubles, the roots of which can be traced back to the colonial era. Ireland was first colonised by the British many hundreds of years ago. The British shipped people from England and Scotland to Ireland in a bid to lock the colony in. But they were faced with resistance. After decades of hard struggle, Southern Ireland won independence from the British in 1921. Ireland was split into two new countries, the Republic of Ireland in the south, an independent state, and Northern Ireland, still firmly under British rule. Ancestors of the Protestant settlers in Northern Ireland saw themselves as British and wanted to maintain links with the UK. But the native Irish Catholic population did not want to be ruled by the British, and so violence between the two sides escalated. In a bid to resolve Northern Ireland's differences, the British and Irish Prime Ministers met in 1998 to reach an agreement on a roadmap for peace. An agreement was signed on Good Friday 1998, which officially marked the end of the Troubles. However, some violence has continued, but on a smaller scale, the most recent of which occurred in April this year. A Catholic police personnel known as Ronan Kerr was killed by a car bomb which is said to have been planted by descendant Irish Republicans, unhappy with Northern Ireland's political settlement. It appears that the future of Northern Ireland is still uncertain.
A Simple Question is the weekly show where we hit the streets to find out what the public are thinking. England's relationship with Ireland stretches back a long way. The Tudors came here in the 16th century to set up plantations. So we started the show this week by asking the public what they know about Britain's colonial history in Ireland. What do you know about Ireland's history as a British colony?
Well, it's been under British rule for roughly 800 years, and to this day it still is.
Why is Northern Ireland officially still part of the UK?
Well, there was the Civil War in 1916, and then they rearranged the border and took out the northern six counties which belonged to England, or part of the UK as they call it. But the other 26 counties is the Republic of Ireland.
The Normans came at one point, then the Tudors settled Dublin, and on it went for a long, long time. And even when the Home Rule settlement was sort of agreed in the 20s, you know, you ended up with partition. Partition seems to be a British gift to a lot of places in the world, and it never sort of leads to happiness for either lots of people that are divided that way. And there's usually a lot of work has to be done before there's any kind of resolution to what partition leads to.
What do you know about Ireland's history as a British colony?
Well, even to this day, the British are still in it, but from 1914 or so onwards, I know a delegation went over to De Valera, things like that, and they agreed to have the North. That was put separate to it. And since then, the British have still been in it. We've never left it. Still, part of it is still part of English, the British colony, you know what I mean?
The first that you come to mind is the Bloody Sunday, you know? The conflict between the religion and the politics between the English and the Irish people.
And then I know the British kind of have been over and back again for, you know, 100 years now, really. Been various conflicts surrounding it, and that's really all I know. Not too many specifics.
The plantation of Ulster, and now it's constantly quoted 800 years. I don't really adhere to that view. But we sort of start really with the plantations and the settlements across Ireland, particularly in Ulster, and the sort of forcible removal of the indigenous population from the land, or forced into serfdom on the land, and right up and into the 19th century.
What do you know about Ireland's history, the whole of Ireland, as a British colony?
I know quite a bit about it. I know from the time of the plantation, I know the uprising, and well, let's look at Dublin, for example. We have left them with beautiful Georgian buildings. We have left them with a judiciary system that's modelled on the British way of life, the same as a government. We've even given them a language. And the best part for maybe Ireland is that we gave them a British saint to be St. Patrick. He was from the British mainland.
Well, as you know, back a number of years, hundreds of years ago, the UK led, were the leaders here in Ireland, and it ended up then in the 1916s when the rebellion from nationalists ended up rebelled, and we ended up with six counties here in Northern Ireland, and it's six counties that we protect very well here in Northern Ireland.
When did Northern Ireland come into existence?
Oh, what
do you know how it came about?
I suppose that the allegation went over and the London, like with De Valera and James Connolly, they all fought for it. But Northern Ireland came on that, that was 1920s, or so, I think it was, anyway, it's just not coming to me at the minute.
Haven't a clue.
1921, I think, 1920.
Do you know when Northern Ireland came into existence, when it got partitioned from the rest of Ireland?
It was in the 30s, I think.
When did Ireland become partitioned from the north to the south?
I don't know.
When did Northern Ireland come into existence? When did the partition between...
1922.
Well, you've heard what the public had to say. Now it's time to go to this week's experts. First up for you this week, we've got a local journalist here in Derry, Eamon McCann. And representing the other point of view, we went over to Belfast to interview Professor Arthur Ockey. Here's what they told us.
Well, of course, colonialism in Northern Ireland and Ireland generally goes all the way back to the 16th century, really. And some people in Ireland would say it goes back to the 12th century, 1162, sort of an invasion by the Earl of Pembroke, Strongbow. So we can date this back a very long way. And the legacy of colonialism weighs very heavily sort of on Irish history, and particularly on the history of Northern Ireland. And what colonialism did in the end was to establish two separate national groups, if you like, sort of in Ireland. There were sort of the Irish, the native Irish, sort of, and those who had come in from Scotland and England. That's a very simplistic way of looking at it. Nevertheless, sort of in broad terms, that's what happened. Of course, all this was but the great settlement sort of by English and Scottish Protestant people in the north, sort of the great colonial settlement, took place really in the 17th century. And it's one of the peculiarities sort of Ireland that the divisions established then are still the main political divisions sort of in our society. Whether they are relevant to the 21st century or not is a different question, but nevertheless, it's very difficult to shrug off the weight of history and the weight of historical tradition, sort of, and in many ways, trying to get rational politics introduced into Northern Ireland is an attempt to not to get rid of history, but to conquer history, to overcome history. That can be a very difficult thing to do.
Well, this takes us back to the 12th century. And I suppose purists would say, well, it wasn't an English occupation of Ireland, but a Norman occupation of Ireland. And the nature of that relationship between the larger island, call it Great Britain, call it England, or Scotland, Wales, took a number of different forms. There was the settlements in the 12th century, which became the basis of English or London's power, the power of the crown in Dublin. But in the 16th, 17th century, there was a large settlement in this part of the world, in Ulster, which is both Scottish and English, which had to do with the religious wars in Europe and in the British Isles of the 17th century. And that forms the basis of the Protestant majority in Northern Ireland today. So two very different forms of settlement, one which was popular and rooted, which is in the north of Ireland, and one which was quite elitist and aristocratic, which was in the south of Ireland. And that second relationship, that sort of aristocratic elitist one, was removed really in the War of Independence in Ireland in the 1920s. But the rooted, settled population of Northern Protestantism had nowhere else to go. So here it stays. And that is the basis of Northern Ireland's Britishness.
In 1969, Northern Ireland descended into a cycle of violence, commonly known as the Troubles. We were out and about, and we asked the public what the reasons were for the conflict at the time. And here's what they told us.
What were the Troubles?
The Troubles was a conflict started in roughly 1969 with the Civil Rights Movement. And it ballooned into a, cross-community conflict in which the IRA campaigned for independence and ended in 1998 with the Good Friday Agreement.
It actually started off with the civil rights, where Catholics were looking for one person, one vote, one man, one man, one vote. And they kind of had a problem getting that. And eventually the IRA got involved in the Troubles, and it started from there to the recent Belfast Agreement.
The Troubles grew out of the after effects of partition, because Northern Ireland was in effect an unequal state, and if you were a Catholic or a member of the nationalist community, then you weren't an equal citizen within it. And the Troubles were a reaction to that situation. It could have possibly, some people think it could have went better, in that if civil rights had been acknowledged at the outset and the settlement had been agreed around those issues, then you wouldn't have had the conflict, which is known as the Troubles, because really you have the whole bit after Bloody Sunday. The armed conflict seemed to become an answer to an awful lot more people.
What were the Troubles?
What are the Troubles?
Yeah.
The Troubles is that it's mainly the fight against to get Britain out of Ireland, and it always has been. That's what the Troubles is.
Troubles? A silly way to expend a lot of energy and lose a lot of lives, basically.
Started as a civil rights movement, which was violently resisted by the government of the day, and then descended into bloody conflict then.
What were the Troubles? This was people started marching for what they called civil rights, and it escalated from there. And their argument was that they were poor housing, they had no jobs, they didn't have this, they didn't have that, they were disenfranchised. You know, I came from an area, I'm a unionist, and I came from an area where we lived in a two-bedroomed house, and there were 10 people living in it. We didn't have running hot water. We didn't have an indoor bathroom or washroom. Everything was outside. The only person that was working was our father. And, I don't think I was underprivileged. The loyalist people have this ethos that anything you get, you go out and work for it and earn it, and that's what we did.
In your opinion, what were the Troubles?
The Troubles started off in the early years, probably it would have been the Civil Rights Movement started off, and it was blew out of all proportions. And what annoys me, the Civil Rights, yes, the idea was right, but it was portrayed to be one-sided, that it was only the nationalists were compounded to not having toilet facilities and not having the general amenities. But this had happened to many Protestants as well at the same time. And I think that's where it got skewed a bit from there.
Civil rights, where people were looking for one man, one job, one man, one vote, etc., etc. It really started off in 1967 up in Dungannon. Then the Civil Rights March, which was banned by the Minister of Home Affairs, Bill Craig, in 1968, marching here in Londonderry. That turned into violence. And ever since, up until the cessation of violence, after the Good Friday Agreement.
What were the Troubles?
The
Troubles were when the two communities in Northern Ireland were in conflict with each other over the status of Northern Ireland, or the status of a part of Northern Ireland and its alignment to England.
In your opinion, what was the root cause of the troubles?
The British government being in Ireland.
The root problem is that the minority of people in Northern Ireland want to see this part of Ireland reunited with the Republic and disconnected with the rest of the United Kingdom, and the majority of people don't want that.
In your opinion, what was the root cause for the troubles?
That's a blame game. You know, people will blame the Protestants, people will blame the Catholics. The whole aspect, really, was inequality.
They wanted a united Ireland under any circumstances, and unfortunately, it wasn't to be. It could be in the future, who knows?
It was about the status of, an illegal status of Ireland and Northern Ireland, whether it should be British or Irish.
Well, a few different opinions banded around then. Now it's time to go back to this week's experts.
Well, the Troubles are a classical territorial dispute, which side would have sovereignty over a particular territory. For the Unionists, the Troubles are about Northern Ireland remaining a part, an integral part of the United Kingdom. And for Irish Republicans and Irish Nationalists, the Troubles were a legacy of the division of Ireland, meaning that the only proper solution to the Northern Ireland question was for Northern Ireland to become an integral part of a united Irish state.
There was a whole series of issues which came together in the 1960s and which brought thousands and thousands of Catholics onto the streets, sort of in a civil rights movement, to some extent modelled on the American civil rights movement. And of course, when that movement here in the north was attacked by the state, attacked by the police, the Royal Ulster Constabulary, and beaten off the streets, and then when the British Army came in to, in a sense, replace the Northern Ireland Police Force as the main agency for enforcing the rule of law. Once that happened, the stage was set for a battle about the existence of the state rather than simply about the way the state was run and the discrimination against Catholics within the state. So, I mean, I think that's sort of where the Troubles came from in the 1960s, and of course they developed their own dynamic and their own impetus then, because of course every time somebody was shot or killed, their grievance was deepened, and when the IRA took to fighting back sort of and waging a war against the forces of the Northern State, that meant sort of that reinforced the determination of the Unionist authorities and to some extent of the Protestant population generally to resist the demands of the civil rights movement. So you had an increasingly stark and divided society in the 1970s and the 1980s, and a lot of massacres, mayhem, assassinations, imprisonment without trial, collusion between right-wing terrorists and the British government. You had a great deal of that going on, and it's no one way you could say it started hundreds of years ago, sort of, but in modern times, I suppose it started in 1968.
The Good Friday Agreement was a major political development in the Northern Irish peace process, signed by the British and Irish governments and endorsed by most of the political parties here in Northern Ireland. It marked a de-escalation of the violence in the Troubles. We asked the public to tell us a little bit about the agreement.
Good Friday Agreement, what do you know about it?
Yeah, don't know a huge amount about it, but know that it was one of the agreements to bring about peace within Northern Ireland and to get different groups talking about what was the best way forward and the best way to deal with issues and to bring, to really unite the people within Northern Ireland together.
Well, it ended the conflict, the Troubles in Northern Ireland, effectively. Power sharing assembly was set up.
Can you tell me what you know about the 1998 peace process, the Good Friday Agreement?
Well, there'd been a ceasefire, and Sinn Féin, along with the Unionists, mainly the DUP, went into it and come to some arrangement where they could share power. And there was a ceasefire at the time, and please God, it's still holding. You know, a few splinter groups at the moment, but not like what it was years ago.
The Good Friday Agreement was where eventually the various political groupings got around a table and miraculously decided that they should be able to govern in some form together rather than constantly harping on about the past and that it was all the other side's fault. It was a long thing. I mean, the peace was announced in 94 and it took 4 years before they even got to the Good Friday Accord. And it's been up and down a few times since. And there's a lot of people who would still argue that what's there is imperfect. But imperfect is better than the violence of the past.
There was a change from, say, the SDLP. Many people supported them, but then Sinn Féin took over and they seemed to work better with the unions. They get what we've got now. Do you know what I mean? A better working society. That's the way it is. Like, when people are listening more from both sides, do you know what I mean?
The Good Friday Agreement, I suppose if people wanted peace, there had to be some sort of agreement. But I think in some instances that we gave too much away to the terrorists. And now, as a result of it and of the other agreement that came after it, that we have now convicted murderers and bombers in part of our government. And these people have been allowed out under the terms of the Good Friday Agreement. They were had reduced prison sentences, etc. But in a lot of people's mind, and remembering that there were over 3,000 people murdered here, most of them very brutally, and a lot of them the members of the security forces, and these people have never had justice. So to me, there can't be peace without justice. And while the politicians dilly-dally and try to tell us to put the past in the past and forget about what happened, well, I'm afraid that hurt and pain are something that you just can't turn off at the flick of a switch. And until there is justice, there's no real peace.
The Good Friday Agreement was implemented after much negotiation in 1998. Quite a lot of people were not happy with it. But when you look at the overwhelming majority of people who voted for the Good Friday Agreement, and that was all about sustaining peace. The major players who've been involved in the conflict bought into this process and basically have said the war is over. And that's basically where we're at the present time. The war is over, and we're now looking at healing the wounds and fostering the community relations so Northern Ireland can move away from the past. But hopefully other countries can also learn from Northern Ireland through the peace process and exactly what it has achieved.
Do you think that one day Ireland will be united?
Yes, I think so.
I suppose I would quite like to see a united Ireland, but only with the consent of, the general consent of nationalists and unionist communities. I think that's the only way it could ever be politically feasible.
Do you hope that one day Northern Ireland will be unified with Southern Ireland, or would you like Northern Ireland to maintain the link with the UK?
No, I believe it should be all one country again.
Do you hope that one day Ireland will be unified, or would you rather that Northern Ireland maintains the link with the United Kingdom?
I would sincerely hope that Northern Ireland maintains the link with the United Kingdom, the rest of the United Kingdom. I am British. I have a British way of life. I like British values. I attribute everything I have got to Britain and being part of that link. And it's something that I would sincerely hope is maintained for generations to come.
If United Ireland was to come tomorrow, it's not going to change the person I am. I know who I am. But is it feasible at the present time? It's certainly not. Not with the economy the way it is in the south of Ireland at the present time. Will there be United Ireland? Probably there will be eventually, but certainly not in my lifetime.
Do you hope that one day Northern Ireland will reunite with the rest of Ireland, or would you like Northern Ireland to keep the link with the United Kingdom?
No, I just hope they unite it as one, because everybody calls themselves Irish. You just can't be Irish, British. Just, I'd rather be Irish.
Well, we've come to the end of another episode of A Simple Question, and we've spoken to a wide range of people today, and we've heard a lot of different opinions. But one person's opinion was missing, and that was yours. So why not send us an email? Our address is asimplequestion@presstv.com. That's asimplequestion@presstv.com. Thanks for watching. Goodbye.